This is the Businesses in Our Backyard podcast, presented by Radio Alabama, the local business podcast featuring owners and managers, along with their incredible teams and tactics that make business successful.
Welcome into Businesses in Our Backyard, the local business podcast for East Central Alabama. I'm your host, Rebecca Young. You know, local businesses are the lifeblood of what we do here at Radio Alabama. They shape how we work, mold how we interact, and create opportunities for not only us to be successful, but the businesses we interact with. And I'm here with Darren Holland of the Sylacauga Karate School. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's
all right. So tell me when you first started learning karate.
When I was a senior in high school, I had just got through with football season, and I had a cousin that was taking karate in Sylacauga. And so that was 1981. And so I thought I'd always had an interest in it. And so I came to the class and instantly fell in love with it. Randy Kane was the instructor at that time.
Was he really?
Yeah. And so he was my first karate instructor back in 1981. So that's when I started.
Wow. So how many levels of karate? I know there are lots of different color belts. Tell me about that.
Yeah. When you first start in karate, you get a white belt. And you start, so in our system, and everybody's different, there's so many different systems of karate.
Okay.
Martial arts in general. You hear kung fu, you hear karate, you hear taekwondo. And that just basically has to do with where it comes from. Karate comes from Okinawa to Japan to the United States. Kung Fu is China, Taekwondo is Korea. So that's
what form do you do?
We do karate.
Okay.
Yeah, we do karate. Ours is an Okinawan Japanese style. It came from Japan to the United States back in the early 60s. In the 60s is when it came. And it started in Sylacauga. Our school started in about 1971 was kind of our official date. So we've been open over 50 years. And continuously never closed. So other than the few months of COVID, we had to shut down. Everybody did. But to go back to the karate ranks, you start with a white belt, and anything below a black belt level is called a Q grade. That's a Japanese word that just an underbelt. Okay. And so you go from an eighth Q, which is a white belt, down to a first Q. And the colors of belts are yellow, green, and brown. And there's, you know, divisions within that. So there's eight down to basically a first Q brown belt, then test for black belt. And then you start at what's called Dan rank, which is black belt rank, and that starts as a first Dan, D-A-N. And then you go up from there to a ninth Dan of karate. So a white belt is a ninth Q, yellow belt's eighth, seventh, sixth, all the way down to first, and then you start with a first Dan all the way up to a ninth Dan as far as karate.
Now, how long did it, or what level are you, first of all?
Sixth Dan.
Okay, yeah. How long did it take you to do that?
I just got promoted to sixth Dan last summer.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, it's so, a long time.
Yeah, well, basically for whatever, and I took a period of time where I was not testing for rank, after I got my first black belt. I went through a good many years where I was training with some different people, but I really wasn't trying to get any more rank. So that kind of stopped from so you take out about, I don't know, 7 to 10 years of not trying to get rank.
Okay.
And so, you know, it could have happened sooner. But it does take a long time. Usually for whatever rank you're going for, you gotta wait that many years. So before I would be eligible for a seventh Dan, I got to wait 7 years.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So you have to train for 7 years to be eligible for that. So
it takes a long time.
It does take a long time.
Okay. Yeah. So a lot of people think that karate is about, you know, kicking and punching other people, but it's really a peaceful kind of thing, isn't it? I mean, you're trying to keep the peace with it.
Well, sure. I mean, it's at its origin, it was a civilian self-defense system to be able to, in Okinawa when it started, to be able to defend against invaders and others, for civilians to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it sort of developed into, now the ability to be able to defend yourself, to use it as a self-defense method, to be better prepared for things that might could happen to you, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And in our school, we absolutely want our students to be able to do that. But it's also teaches things that, especially with kids, but even adults, that they need to have self-discipline, focus, integrity, respect. These are all things that are kind of built into the process of you know, and refraining from violent behavior. I often tell my students that if you get into a violent altercation, then your best weapons have failed you, meaning your ability to choose, to control your ego, to not put yourself in places that would allow that to happen. Mm-hmm. And so those are all things that you're going to try to avoid conflict, because you understand through your training and everything else that is not a place most people want to be.
Mm-mm.
And it's scary. It's dangerous.
It is.
Even trained, you know, the things that can go wrong in a violent altercation are never going to be good things. So, mm-hmm. A lot of what we train for is to be ready for that violence, but at the same time to develop the skills that would allow us not to ever have to do that. So you're correct. It is about being
peaceful,
improving your character to the point where, you know, you're not going to have to use violence unless there's absolutely no choice.
Now, a lot of times I will tell other women, you know, be aware of your surroundings. You can avoid a lot of problems that way. You can see somebody maybe coming your way, looking at you, or, you know, if there's a suspicious vehicle nearby, you can kind of preempt things before they happen if you're paying attention, you know.
Yeah.
But is that part of it, or?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what I mean. That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
And when we do self-defense classes for women's self-defense, which we will do, we're talking about possibly doing one, you know, in the near future. But a lot of what we teach is that very thing about things that you can prepare for, ways to be more aware of your surroundings, you know, to things that you need to do that.
Yeah, that lock your car. You know. Yeah,
sure. I mean, if you're walking out of the mall and your head is in your purse, try to get
your
keys
phone,
out.
Right.
And when you went in, it was daylight. Now it's dark. And you know, there's a lot of things that in that scenario, there's things you need to be doing to try to keep something from happening to you. So
right. Prevention is the best medicine.
Maybe not go to the mall and come out by yourself at night. You know, that's a good prevention.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
Figure out that's maybe not a place I want to put myself in, because I increase my opportunities of things going wrong there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you feel uneasy about something, you know, always listen to that
That's
intuition.
That's exactly right.
Okay, go back in, get a security guard, say, would you walk me to the car? You know, we feel foolish. That's often the problem.
Oh, no.
Is that we, because we're civilized, we don't always understand that when we're talking about people that are violent or people that are willing to do harm to somebody, they don't have the same thought processes. They don't have the same morals. They don't have, and so us civilized folks, we can't, you know, if they feel like it can't happen to us,
oh,
it's not possible. It can. And
having
it will.
Having worked emergency services a long time ago, I can tell you, yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing we ask people is, would you rather be embarrassed or dead?
That's a good thing to ask. Yeah. So listen,
you know?
Listen to your intuition, no doubt.
So what's one quote unquote tool that you always teach people?
You know, if I'm doing a self-defense class, mm-hmm. you're not going to learn how to fight somebody in a few hours of a self-defense class. It's just a system of karate takes time to develop.
Okay.
You know, I can give you some basic tools to help you, but if you really want to be able to use karate, then and it's there's going to be a it's a process. It takes minimum of 4 years to get to the black belt level if you stayed start and finish, you know, and you don't miss the testing. So it's not something that immediately you're going to walk in and be able to just pick up and do it, you know. So, but the things we've been talking about, the awareness, using your brain to preempt things that could happen. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest skill, if I can get most people to live that way. Just to be aware, okay, to live in a state of awareness always, where you are, where you know, what you do. And my daughter, who's also a black belt in the system, you know, she's grown up in listening to her dad talk about it and probably ad nauseum. She could probably quote me. But again, you know, there's she was one of my students. And so right. she and my daughter. So I wanted to be sure that she was able to protect herself. And, you know, recently something happened that she had to protect herself. And
oh, wow.
She, well, looking back on it, my first thing was, why were you there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why were you there? That she didn't want to hear that. But,
I know.
It turned out okay, but it
well,
was,
that's good.
You know, it was a decision that, you know, maybe if I'd have made this decision, that wouldn't have happened. So, but.
A learning moment.
Yeah. But anyway, that's mostly the skill that I'm going to try to, and I try to teach that to all of my students. You know, you have to live life in a certain awareness of the things that could happen and keep yourself there. So.
All right, we're going to take a little break. I'm talking with Darren Holland of the Sylacauga Karate School on businesses in our backyard, and we'll be right back.
Sylacauga and Childersburg have three great radio stations, Mix 106.5, Kix 100.3, and WSGN on 98.3 FM. Which one's your favorite?
This is the Businesses in Our Backyard podcast. Now back to the conversation.
And I'm Rebecca Young. I'm talking with Darren Holland of Sylacauga Karate School. And tell me, how do you have to be fairly physically fit to do these classes?
Yeah.
Because I have a bad back.
Yeah. Yeah, and unfortunately, training is you use the physical aspect of it. Now,
okay. You
don't have to be the most athletic. You don't have to, but there will be some limitations for any kind of activity that because you're moving, you're punching, the other night I was teaching throws, and we were actually throwing one another down on mats.
Don't do that to me.
we put gear on, and, you know, we free spar, which means that we're trying to hit, punch, and kick each other, and you know, with intent. And now it's all under control. But again, when two bodies are clashing together or moving, there's always going to be a chance of contact not being soft. You know, it's so. Yes, you would need a level of ability. Yeah, I mean, if there's limitations. Now, I have back issues, so I have to be careful what I do. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not just able to anymore to just to do whatever I want to do. You know, there's you listen to your body, you adapt your training, and you adapt how you do things so that you're able to. And that's what experience comes from. The young guys in my class, they have the advantage of youth.
Right.
I don't have the advantage of youth, but I do have the advantage of wisdom and experience.
There you go.
That I often use on them. So, but yeah, you would to answer. You know, that's a long answer to a question, but it is a certain amount of ability that you would need to have to be able to do it.
So, how many classes do you teach now?
We have a kids class and an adult class, and the way our kids classes are. Our beginners come in at 5:30 on Tuesdays and Thursday evenings.
What age can you start at?
We recommend six, least six. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've tried some 5-year-olds, and it's just really hard in the environment, the way we kind of do it with multiple ages in there for the little ones.
They don't have the attention span, probably.
Yeah, that and you know, you need to teach them in a little different way than you would say a 9 or 10-year-old. So it's a little bit harder for them. If they're too young. So we recommend at least six, probably seven, eight, good eights to start, because they do have some maturity about them and a little bit of a ability to have an attention span as they get a little older. But and then they come in at 5:30, the white belts, beginners, and we work with them until 6:30, so classes are an hour. And then at 6, I have my intermediate kids classes. That would be yellow belts, green belts, brown belts that come in and train from 6 to 7. And then my adults train from 7 to 8.
Now, the beginners kind of overlap into the older kids.
Which we're very fortunate. We have multiple black belts that on any evening that are going to be there. And so, Tuesday night, you know, this past Tuesday night, I had, I don't know, 5-6 black belts. A week ago Tuesday night, I had probably 9 that were there, including me, 8 or 9. And so they just sort of come in and we're at the J. Craig Community Center.
Right.
And so we're able to use, we have a room there. The first room as you come in on the right is kind of what we, is our base.
Okay.
But it's, you know, it's a small room that we can have one class in there, but if we get our whole school together, all the classes, it's too small. So oftentimes we're in the gym. So, and if we're not in the gym, then we'll be in one of the other classes up front. And so we're all spread out all over the place, sometimes just depending on what's going on at the rec. So if there's an event, you know, we may have to use something else. But we've made do, and it's been a really good move for us. We had a storefront for about 30 years.
I know, you were right across the street from here.
And so the move to the rec has been a good move for us, and it's good because we love the community part of it, being part of that. And I was on the park and rec board for quite a few years, about 14 years. And so, I was real familiar with the park and rec. And so when I talked with Steve Masters about coming there, it was a really good fit for everybody. And interestingly, the school started at the Park and Rec. In 1971, the first classes were taught at the Park and Rec.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Gene Henderson was teaching, and I think Randy Kane was maybe a brown belt in that class. And so then when Randy, sometime in the early 70s, all this was going on, then Randy took the school when he got his black belt and then ran it for many, many years. And it still will come by and always checks on us and is, you know.
He's a neat guy.
Yep.
How much are the classes?
Our tuition is $50 a month.
Okay.
For the first family member, and then we give price breaks for additional family members that want to train with us. The uniforms, you know, we have those, and those usually run about $35. You get about 2 hours, you know, a week between Tuesdays and Thursday nights. And sometimes
I was gonna say, it's just one night a week, or it's Tuesday
nights,
and Thursday.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, and sometimes those hours can overlap. You know, we'll have some students that might stay a little longer or come in a little earlier and train. So it's a little fluid, but you're going to get a good hour of training each night. And
So if somebody's interested, do they need to call you or just show up?
Either. Yeah, they can come by. Anytime and find one of the black belts and talk to them. They can call me. They can go by the park and rec desk and they can actually register and they've got information. They can go online at the park and rec desk, and there's kind of some information about the karate school on that as well. So,
yeah, that is a silicaga.recdesk.com.
Yes.
Right.
Yep. And so, yep. So there's various ways. We're easy to get. You know, we're always there Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's very rarely, you know, the one thing we kind of do, if the school's let out for storms, then we tell our students, don't come back to karate. If the school thought you ought to be at the house, there's no sense in, you know, stay at the house. You know, don't come back out. And so that's the one time where we may not be there would be if the school's let out for bad weather, then we'll usually just go ahead and close. We don't want to tempt anybody to possibly feel like they need to get back out in the weather and come. So,
but now you're open during the summer.
All summer. Yeah, we're pretty much open year round. So, Yep. If
do the parents come in and watch? Because the funnest thing for me and your wife was to watch the parents watching their kids out here. It was so funny.
Yeah, absolutely. We would encourage that. Now, when we're in the small room, there's nowhere for parents to sit and watch.
Shoot.
So, but we're in the gym now a lot. So there are, we have to share with the rest of the community, you know. So, okay. But yeah, if we're in the gym, the parents can sit on the bleachers and watch all they want to. So, yeah, no doubt.
Well, thank you for being with me today.
Thank you.
And, join us each week as we continue to feature local businesses in and around our area. Be sure to share this show with your friends and give us a 5-star rating if you like what you see and hear.
Thanks for watching and listening to the Businesses in Our Backyard podcast, presented by Radio Alabama. The show is hosted by David McCurley and Rebecca Young, directed and edited by Michael Giddens. Michael Brannan serves as executive producer. Join us next time as we feature another great business and team making a difference in our community on Businesses in Our Backyard.